Christmas has a way of captivating us. It evokes in us that sense of awe and that sense of wonder, that sense of anticipation, right? As communities blanket their town squares in glorious light, as wreaths are hung and as lights are strung and songs are sung, right? All in anticipation of this one day, this Christmas day, we do all of these things. Now, like any child growing up, I lived for Christmas Day. There was not a better holiday. Sure, Easter had lots of candy, and birthdays, we sang songs and had parties, but of course, Christmas had all of that, right? It had candies, and it had pies, and it had lots of celebration and lots of song. It had nutcrackers and Dickens villages, eggnog and peppermint bark, and everybody took part in Christmas. And that sort of fever pitch would hit on Christmas Eve. This very night, for me as a child, I would lay down my head and I would eagerly await the glories to come, right? The best day of the year. And yet, it was about this time, every year on Christmas Day, the following day, right? The following day from today, that anticipation of Christmas later that afternoon and early evening would be replaced by this hollow sense of disappointment, even despair. Because Christmas, for me as a child, growing up in a non-Christian home, Christmas actually never delivered. Sure, the gifts were great. Loved the gifts. And yet, something always broke. Sometimes you didn't even get it out of the package and you found that it was broke. Something didn't fit. My brother had something that I wanted. Even the best gifts, but a few hours later, were already becoming tired gifts. Now, as we grow up, many of us, part of how we cope is we learn to temper our own expectations. Perhaps we even become cynics when it comes to Christmas, right? Christmas delivers little, and so what do? We expect little. But I wonder, is that all Christmas has to offer? Tired toys and diminished expectations. Is that all it has to offer you tonight? Or is there a way to restore the joy? Is there a way to restore the anticipation? Is there any way to make the wonder of Christmas actually a year-round affair and something that doesn't fizzle within the next 24 hours? Well, I want us to think back at that lesson that was just read for us a few minutes ago. It's often a lesson that's left out of the Christmas story, but it is, in fact, very crucial to that Christmas story. And in that lesson, if you even want to look back in your own ministry guide, your bulletin there, back to that last and fifth lesson, we're introduced there to a man named Simeon. And we read that Simeon has been waiting there in the temple. And he's been waiting for what? He's been waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, here's a man who is likely quite old. He's waiting. And he's waiting, much like we're waiting tonight, in an eager anticipation. Was he waiting for weeks or months or years? We're not told. The text doesn't say. Except that one day, a poor young couple shows up to the temple, and they show up with a baby that's wrapped in worn and stained blankets. And at the sight of this child, Simeon then cries out, and he says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Now, if you ask just the average Joe walking down Dixon Street what he's longing for in life, he may say he's longing for love or for money or for something else to fill his life, to improve his lot. But I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find one who says he's longing for salvation. That's not something folks today tend to long after. Now, maybe this one would be longing for a means to save himself, but even then, he's not looking for someone outside of himself to save him. No, we're all a bit self-sufficient. We're all too self-reliant for talk like that. But friends, we need to see that that's exactly where Christmas begins. Because we're not okay. As beautiful as we all look, as handsome as everyone is, all the kids dressed up, the reality is we're not okay. This world is not okay. Government shutdowns, cratering stock markets, we can talk about riots, we can talk about tsunamis. They all point to a world in turmoil. They point to a world that is, in fact, in great pain. And we're no different. You know, even as we come at Christmas, we're acutely aware, even tonight, of our own problems and pain. And as much as we might like to point the finger, as much as we might like to identify a scapegoat for our problems and for our pain, if we're honest with ourselves, our sadness, our loneliness, our anger, our mounting debts, the burned friendships, the lost relationships, friends, those things didn't happen in spite of us. They often happened because of us. We are the cause. We are the source. Not always entirely and solely, but nonetheless, we are responsible. And friends, it's the same with our relationship with God, our relationship with Him. If we've come tonight, and if you feel like that is in shambles, if it is non-existent, it is our own doing. Because each of us have come, and we choose to live for ourselves. We live, all of us, naturally, to please ourselves. And in this, we have rejected God, and so we choose to worship ourselves. And yet, despite however hard we might try, despite however hard we'll drive after wealth, or health, or status, or fame, or whatever it might be to satisfy ourselves, we too will be left hollow. We too will be left empty. We're like that child that I was growing up on Christmas Day. We're either going to be sulking over what we didn't get, or we're going to be angered about all that we did get, and yet, despite all of it, it still wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Simeon reminds us that the Christmas hope is not in such things. It's not in what this world has to offer for us. It's not in fame. It's not even in the perfect family. The hope of Christmas comes to us very simply in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Simeon beheld Christ. His trembling arms held that child high. And in that moment, Simeon saw that child was enough. That child was sufficient to meet every longing heart. And it's the child alone, the child exclusively, who is the Savior. Did you notice how salvation is linked in that last story? Directly and exclusively to Jesus. When Simeon said, "My eyes have seen your salvation," when he says that, he is staring at the baby Jesus. That baby is the only one in focus and in view. Now, Simeon's right there at the temple. So Simeon could have looked toward the priests. Simeon could have looked toward the whole sacrificial system. But he doesn't, right? He looks away from all those ceremonial rites. His hope in that moment, it's not in a religious system. It's in a person. It's in Jesus. Because Christianity is not a religion of self-help. Christianity is not simply about how we can improve ourselves or reform ourselves or make the most of ourselves. That may be what nearly every other world religion has to offer, self-improvement. But in fact, Christianity turns us very much in the opposite direction. The message of Christmas is not, this is how you can be a better person. The message of Christmas is Jesus is the perfect person. He is the one solely in whom we need and find rest. It's not look inward into ourselves. It's look upward. It's look to Him. It's not lean into your own moral energies, but it's rather lean back, not lean into your moral energies. Lean back into Christ. Lean back into His moral excellence. That's what we lean into. That's what we trust in. It's because as God, Jesus did, friends, what we are unable to do. As we keep reading through the Gospels, if you keep reading this Christmas story as it unfolds, we see that Jesus left the glory of His Father in heaven. He took upon flesh. Yes, He dwelt among us. Yes, He would identify with us, and He would do more. He would, in fact, die for us. This Son of God, this baby Jesus, would live the lives that you and I, frankly, did not want to live. We want to please ourselves. We want to live for ourselves. Jesus never did that. He always lived for His Father perfectly, beautifully. And then He died on a cross, not for His own sins. He had no sins of which to die. He rather died on a cross as a sacrifice for sinners. The death penalty we deserve in our sins, that's what Jesus bore Himself on the cross. And then He rose again on the third day, victorious over sin and the grave, so that all of those who see their need, for those who are waiting like Simeon, in anticipation for something better, for something more, and see in that Christ being the fulfillment by repenting of their sins, by turning away from it, by humbly looking solely to Christ, placing their faith in Him, these can be saved. Jesus is the Savior for those who would repent and turn. And that's what Christmas is about. It's about an exclusive Savior, but who comes with a very inclusive message. Because this salvation Simeon saw, the salvation alone in the person of Christ, is for, he goes on to say, it's for all peoples. It's a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. You see, the message of Christmas, it's not confined to a particular racial or ethnic or cultural class. It's not rather confined to a particular generation. It's not for a particular class of people, not for the wealthy people or the established or the who's who of society. You know, Scientology, for example, tends to be all about that. Other world religions often cater to those with power, those who hold some kind of worldly prominence. And yet Simeon here is but an old man with a very common name, nothing uniquely that sets him apart other than that eager waiting for the Savior. Who were the shepherds that we read of earlier? The shepherds in the story of Jesus, they were those but who were but outcasts and drifters. You have Mary and Joseph, nothing but a poor carpenter and his family from the other side of the tracks, right, from Nazareth. And yet the message that Jesus brings is an inclusive one that calls all without making distinction, male or female, rich or poor, black or white, Jew or Gentile. It calls us to come because all of us share one thing in common. We're made in God's image, and we've rebelled against that image. And so, this message calls you to come and experience the true joy of Christmas by experiencing it in this person, Jesus Christ. Because the world, friend, the world will not satisfy the longings of your heart. If you haven't figured that out, in time you will. The world can't do it. And because no life, however fully lived, is going to be able to satisfy, and it's going to be able to deal with the debts that all of us have dug before this God. Our lives can't deal with that either. And Simeon knew this, which is why he beheld Christ, and in beholding Christ, he rejoiced. Friends, the problem with Christmas is not that we need to lower our expectations. The problem is not that they are too low, but in fact, it's that our expectations aren't high enough. They are not found alone in this Christ. So the answer is not to diminish them, it's to divert them and point them right at Jesus and stare at this one who is the salvation of his people. And in him, we're going to come to find, and I pray you come to find, maybe even come to find tonight, that the wonder of Christmas found in this Christ is not one that's going to fizzle out late on Christmas Day. But in fact, this wonder in Christ is going to be able to fuel you throughout eternity. Friends, let's pray. Oh God, we pray that on a night like this, when so many things can distract, Lord, gifts that didn't arrive, plans for tomorrow, meals that need to be prepared. Oh God, we pray that in the midst of all those possible distractions, in the midst of some of the disappointments and discouragements that can come with this time of the season, God, we pray that you would turn our eyes to Christ, that we might, like Simeon, behold him, and in beholding him, behold salvation, and know that in him, oh, he is sufficient for all things. Oh Father, help us even now to turn our hearts there. In Jesus' name, amen.